Welcome to episode 16 of the Printing and Playing Podcast, the podcast where I'll be discussing board and card games that you can print out, put together yourself, and then play with your friends, as well as crafting tips and news related to the hobby. I'm your host, Steve, and in today's episode, Baby's Room. Baby's Room is a light worker placement or action selection game where the players represent expectant parents preparing a nursery for the arrival of their new baby. The players do this by using their worker tokens, which in this case represent the parents and later on in the game the godparents as well, to gather resources which are then used in order to purchase decorations for the nursery, which both increases score at the end of the game and makes more actions available during the course of the game. To play, each player gets an individual player board representing their baby's nursery, on which decoration cards are played around the outside edges of the room, which has three colored card placement spots on each side. Each player also gets a random secret wish card, which is basically a hidden goal that will score you additional points at the end of the game if you meet that goal. A central action board is placed at the center of the table, which has a round tracker for the 9 rounds of the game, along with all of the basic actions that are available at the start of the game. Several resource cubes are also placed in the center of the table in 4 different colors, blue, pink, yellow, and white, and each player gets 2 of their worker tokens, which will bump up to 4 on the 4th round. The way a turn works is the start player will place 1 of their worker tokens on an action, followed by the next player around the table, and it goes around until it comes back to the first player, who then plays their 2nd token, and it goes around again until the players have played all of their worker tokens for that turn. Now, at the start of the game, there are only a few basic actions available to the players on that central action board. The players can place their workers in order to take 2 cubes of any one color, blue, pink, yellow, or white. They can place a token to take 1 of any color. They can purchase 1 of the available decoration cards. And out of the deck of decoration cards, there will always be a number available that is equal to the number of players. So if you're playing a 3-player game, there will always be 3 face-up decoration cards available to purchase out of the deck. You can also take an action to build 1 of those decorations onto the walls of your room once you've purchased a decoration. And lastly, you can spend 1 of your resource cubes in order to place your worker on a spot that somebody already took. And that can be important because, as in most worker placement games, once somebody places their worker on a spot, nobody else is allowed to place their worker there as well. And where it starts to get more interesting is over the course of the game, more actions become available because every time you build a decoration onto your room, that decoration card has its own action that can be played on it. Just as a few random examples, there's a card for the color Foggy Green that if that's built onto your wall, you can place a worker there in order to take a pink and yellow cube. Placing a worker on the Warm Blanket card allows you to take any 3 cubes, all separate colors, and the Dresser allows you to swap any 2 cubes for any 2 cubes in stock. In addition to that, you can also use your neighbor's actions. For any action card that your opponent has built on a wall that faces your room, you can place 1 of your worker tokens on their card in order to use that action on your turn. So with 48 different action cards distributed randomly every game, it's easy to see how your available options can change every time you play. So, as said earlier, each round the players take turns placing their workers and taking an action 1 at a time as they go around the table until all the workers have been placed. For the first 3 rounds, the players get 2 workers to work with, and starting with round 4, they get 4 workers to place every turn. And once all workers have been placed, the round is over and the round marker moves up 1. So play continues like this, with the players trying their best to gain and manage the right resources in order to purchase decoration cards that are going to help them out the most, between the printed score on them for the end of the game, the actions that card can make possible for the rest of the game, along with the players having to decide the best place to put those decoration cards. Because if a card is placed on a marker on your room that matches the color of the card, it's worth a couple extra points at the end of the game. And you always have to remember that any cards that are facing your opponent can be used by your opponent. So taking all that into account, the players play round by round until they've reached the end of round 9, at which point the game is over and scores need to be determined. And the way you check the score is first you add up all the points for all the cards that you built onto your room. Just purchasing the card doesn't count. It has to actually be built and attached to the room. And as expected, cards that took more resources to buy are worth more points at the end of the game. Additionally, you add any bonuses for any decoration cards that were built onto the walls in a spot that matches its color, as mentioned earlier. And lastly, you check for any bonus points on the player's secret wish card. And those wish cards provide bonuses in two different ways. The first way is each card is looking for a different way for your decoration cards to be laid out on the walls. And it will give bonus points for cards that are placed in specific positions around the board. Additionally, you can score extra points for achieving goals, such as still collecting full sets of color cubes, still in your supply at the end of the game. For collecting sets of cards, each card has a symbol down on the corner, and collecting a large number of a single symbol can end up gaining you a whole bunch of points at the end of the game. A goal may also have you trying to build the most of one color in order to gain the most points at the end of the game. Or you could get extra points for filling up or leaving empty walls of the room. So once you do a little bit of addition and put together that basic score, any bonuses from matching colors, and any bonuses you received from your secret wish cards, the person who ends up with the highest total of points is, of course, the winner. Thoughts on Baby's Room. Firstly, some of you guys might be wondering why, out of all the print-and-play games out there, I chose the one about decorating a baby's nursery. Well, it's because I am going to be a dad for the first time ever. My wife and I are expecting our first child in January, and when I saw Baby's Room, it just seemed like the perfectly inspired game to go with the getting ready for a new baby mood around the house. Of course, I do have to admit that this theme isn't exactly going to be universally appealing, something that the designer has also admitted in the game's forums, where he's asked for some ideas about a possible retheme. But, theme aside, how does the game play? Well, first off, I want to admit right up front that I am not a fan, in general, of worker placement or action selection games. Stone Age, for example, is a game that pretty much puts me to sleep, and if I were asked to choose between another game of Agricola and a root canal, I'd probably have some serious time having to think about which one is the better option. There are, however, rare exceptions. For example, I rather like Agizia, and Alien Frontiers isn't too bad either. So hey, maybe this would be one of those exceptions. Admittedly, Baby's Room does have the problem that I see with most worker placement games, that being that pretty much all of these games, including this one, feels like a turn-by-turn grind of collecting stuff in order to collect other stuff in order to finally collect stuff. Or in the case here, just points at the end, based mostly on the types of cards you were able to collect, as described earlier. There's also a little bit of a theme disconnect here, in that it's a resource management game, but the resources don't really represent anything. For example, in some games, a brown cube will represent a wood resource, while a gray cube could represent a stone resource. In Baby's Room, a blue cube is, well, a blue cube, and that's it. Functionally, of course, it really makes no difference, and even in other worker placement games, players tend to fall into a habit of saying something along the lines of, well, I need to take 3 cubes instead of 3 stone, or something along those lines. But still, it would have been a nicer touch if resources were figured out that would match the theme a little bit better. Now, I do have to say that I did really like how the game expands over the course of the play. Starting out with only those few actions on the central board, much easier to explain, especially to players who might be new to the whole worker placement genre. This might actually be a really good entry game into that type of game. You can just explain the basics, then when a new card comes out, just let the players know what that one does when the time comes. Plus, I thought the Seven Wonders-inspired ability to use your neighbor's actions was a nice touch. And it adds a nice bit of strategy as you weigh your options between what kind of cards you want to build on the walls, which walls you want to build them on, and, for example, if it's worth putting it on a wall facing one of your opponents in order to get that color match bonus, if it's going to allow your opponent to use those actions. But those touches put Baby's Room onto the list of exceptions in a family of games I don't like very much? Well, I gotta say, for me, probably not. But I'm thinking, I know there are a lot of people out there who love worker placement games, and if you're looking for something that's kind of entry-level and has a nice couple of twists to it, you might want to check Baby's Room out. And if you think it's a pretty well-put-together game, maybe go on over to the forums and let the designer know some other themes that might work as well, making it a little more likely for this game to hit the table of players who aren't expecting a new baby. Thanks for listening to the Printin' and Playin' Podcast. I'd love to get your feedback, ideas, and suggestions for the podcast, so please feel free to share. Send me an email at printinpodcast@gmail.com, remembering that there's no G in the printin' in this case. Or if you're a BoardGameGeek.com member, you can send geek mail to me at my username ShadowGlare, which is Shadow and Glare together, but hold the W. Or leave a comment on the blog's webpage at printin-and-playin.podomatic.com.